Podcast guesting is more than simply being asked questions on a podcast and then expecting a flood of leads. You have to be strategic, intentional, and leverage it fully to get the most benefits. Today, I chat with guest experts, on-air owner, and visibility expert, Joseph Schinwald, about how to get booked on high-end podcasts, why you should be niche targeting, what makes a good guest, and how every podcast is a networking event. Let's take a listen. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I have with me visibility strategist Joseph Schinwald. And of course, in the podcasting space and podcast guesting space, no less. So I'm really excited to talk about one of my favorite topics with you, Joseph. Well, welcome to the show.
Hello, Lindsay. It's a very, very, very nice privilege to be on your show.
So how did you get into the podcast guesting space? I know you told me you've been in it for 6 years. How did you kind of get into it?
It's something you must like because, you know, like I like interviews. I was in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I was the manager for Hemisphere newspaper, and I was in universities teaching. And so I was invited to television. I was 50 times on television, and it just was a great highlight of my life. Yeah. I really loved it, talking about business stuff. And then I was going into e-commerce for altogether, like e-commerce and internet marketing. I think it's already at least 20 years. And part of this time now is podcast, a guesting agency, because I just feel great about it. I get to know very extraordinary individuals, my clients. They are usually in the business leadership niche. Also spirituality, these are the kind of things I started myself.
Yeah.
And I picked them on LinkedIn, and it almost works out for me. So yes. I have some good clients, and I like the idea to, you know, particularly with COVID, that was awesome at that time to actually have this amazing conversations. And that's what the podcasting world is. You get just a real nice conversation. It's like almost like you go out, you go to a nice restaurant, you meet new people, and it's like that a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I do love that too. It's funny, when I first started podcasting, I started in the hosting space instead of the other way around for whatever reason. But I totally didn't really think about the connections. And now, like, some of the people that I've had on my show, I've been friends with for years. Some of them have like joined my team and I'm still in touch with, been on their shows. Like it really is amazing how it just connects everybody, and just the ability of sharing stories and and helping.
Yes. And you're an expert in content marketing, as I did my research on your website. And I think that's very important too, because when you are like, you know, when you get to know a very intelligent people, like they ask you really poignant questions, and you're an expert in something, you wrote a book, or you can really talk easily about your expertise, but you're being asked different from different angles. So you can actually come from different, you can present your value from different angles to the table of discussion, which I like very much, because I've been asked really interesting questions. I said, wow, that's what I just said. Not right away afterwards, but when I listen to the podcast, it's not always like this. Sometimes we just talk like we always talk, but sometimes you get questions asked, and it becomes a real interesting episode.
Yeah, I agree. I've been asked questions where I'm like, oh, I've never been asked that before. And it makes you think. I love that too. Mm-hmm. So I know you are focused on helping people get on high-end podcasts, and that is a strategy that you have, and you guys are very good at it. Why high-end podcasts, and kind of why does that make a difference?
It's because I just realized, you know, that when you have a value proposition like that elevator pitch, so to speak, and you want to attract really like people who have written Wall Street Journal books and they're like in spirituality people who have like 1,000 people in front of them sitting there raising their hand, then you can't just, you can't offer them average podcast. But at the same time also, when you get this kind of clients, which I 80% have, then you can also easier pitch to elite podcasts because you have a very valuable person to present to them, correct? And also they don't want to do it themselves. So yeah, it's exactly. Easy for me. But I like really all kinds of interesting people. I mean, I'm not just, I just attract many extraordinary people, but it's something that I was shocking for me because I myself have been an expert. I've been many times on television. I've been at the university teaching and all this. And I think very highly of me. But when I talk with certain clients, I say, wow, I'm a nobody. So accomplished sometimes, right? I mean, just that is very humbling.
Yeah, agreed. And I think we all have something to offer in the world regardless. Yes. What do you consider an elite podcast or high-end podcast?
Well, I go through, you know the different measurements, the different indicators. First of all, if a podcast had really good guests, other guests, like guests you know, right? You have written books about them, maybe in spirituality or in business leadership, you've written books about, read books about them, and you know they're really like all the time, everywhere, they're famous, then it's most likely a good podcast because they wouldn't go on this podcast. It would hurt them to go on another podcast, on a podcast where it's not sure if the host is actually has experience or not. So then you go also for measurements like iTunes, the chart among the 100, yeah, which is related to the global rank and the listen score of which comes from Apple Podcast, but it's in listen notes, the global rank. So when you have like, I do a lot of research in podcast statistics also myself, because I think it's important that you stay, when you want to be like an expert in something, you need to know what is the research, right? So I like to look at how many downloads get, let's say, a 1% global rank on average, because there's so much lies around this. I mean, I have to say that, unfortunately, you know, everybody says they have like millions of downloads. That's not true. So a 1% has on average, I would say between 3 and 10,000 downloads, a 1% global rank, 0.5%, the same thing. If you have like one with 10% global rank, that's already like, you know, in the upper third tier. And there you might have from 100 probably to 500. So it's average things, but I've had a podcast that people just started out. Mm-hmm. And I looked at their YouTube channel and they had tens of thousands of subscribers on the YouTube channel. So you can go on a new podcast and it has no global rank and nothing to show yet, because it's new, but it has already a substantial base and your episode will be posted there. But it's very important when I look at the measurements at the qualify podcasts that the audience is right. The audience is very important for my client because they, you know, you don't want to have an irrelevant discussion. And when the audience is right, then how do you know this, first of all, right? I do a lot of research with AI nowadays also.
Oh, okay.
I use ChatGPT. It's just, you know, after I have a good pitch from a podcast client of mine, when I have that one, then I can ask easily, what a great podcast for this person? What is the audience? The audiences. It's very specific, this ChatGPT with audiences. I love it. It gives you like 5 audiences and then you can see which one is the best one, rate it, and that helps. I'm not saying this is everything yet. And often ChatGPT also is wrong. And you have to double check, particularly you don't want to have anything that's like written and published from artificial intelligence. You want to have the human touch 100% there.
Absolutely.
Because everybody knows where it feels it. This is not human, right? So that is for me very important, the audience. And that, you know, let's look at the statistics also. You know, there are they speak now about how many 4.5 million out there. Many of them are not active.
Totally.
400,000 are interview based of the podcasts. And I have written some articles on this, very interesting one. There's only really 40,000 that are active.
Wow.
So if you are, and then we talk about true crime, comedy and all this. So if you're in a certain niche like business, you don't have so many, but you have hundreds for yourself. So it's a lot for everybody. It's an abundance. But it's not like YouTube. It's not like a YouTube thing.
Yeah.
A podcast, they grow very much fast. And now the next 7 days, the next 7 years, they will grow a lot. But they're still kind of an infancy.
Yeah, I agree. And I like what you said about researching like audiences in ChatGPT. I've never even thought about that, like who the right audience is. Because I do find that a lot of people that are guesting on shows tend to go for things that are, you know, general. If they're into real estate investing or they're a note investor or they're a sales leader, coach, then they automatically default to going on real estate investing podcasts or sales podcasts. And sometimes that can be like super general. And I read on your site, you were talking about like niche targeting. Can you kind of, you know, touch upon that?
Yes, Lindsay, that's a very interesting question because, you know, when you target your clients to the podcasts and you like say, I'll give an example. I have somebody from Australia and he has those men's groups, like he does retreats for men.
Yep.
They help each other, they bond with each other and they pay $10,000 to be there. So he wants, and he has secretaries and assistants and we talked several times and we started out, he's very spiritual as well. So there's a lot of good spiritual understanding about the world and life and all this. So we, anyway, we came to the conclusion we should target those podcasts, which are men's groups, manliness, magnificence of man, and superior man, and all this stuff, you know. So many podcasts about men, you know.
There
also
are.
About women, of course.
Yes.
And that wasn't the right target because what I realized is, even though this is a very high-level guest, but we got some great podcasts, 0.5, very good podcasts, but very few for the amount of people I contacted, hosts. And then I realized, you know, when I looked at the websites of these hosts and at the podcast, I said, you know, my client is a competitor. They think this person will just take away their own audience, the clients, the few, because you need 10,000 to get maybe a retreat filled up with 10 people who pay $10,000 each, right? If you go to Mallorca. So you need a lot. So in fact, you know, I think there was a lot of the case, and that happens also a lot with my clients for business leadership. They write these fantastic books and they want to only reach top level podcasts who where companies listen to which have more than 500 employees. They're only interested in those. But when I go to this kind of podcast with those kind of audiences, then I get many times in-house podcasts. In other words, they are from big consulting companies.
Yeah.
They only interview their own clients and they don't want another consultant.
Right.
They're just taking their clients away from
them.
So it's so hard to get them first. And then somebody comes, talks very interestingly. So this is always to remember when you are looking for your niche. So let's say in my case, it's a good example. In my case, I do what I preach. So I go on podcasts. I would define myself as an internet marketer.
Yeah.
And I can talk really well about all, like you know, the content marketing, all this, all kinds of marketing. I can talk really well about marketing. So why would I go on only? Because I like the podcast about podcasts as well, of course. If I'm not a competitor, you know, because if I'm a competitor, I don't really care, honestly. I don't, because everybody has their own niche. But if it's a real nice harmony between the two of us, you're expert in helping businesses to establish their own podcast and get their own audience, while I help experts who have maybe their own podcast already or don't have one, but they want to leverage other people's audiences.
Yeah.
So there's a fantastic synchronicity. The synchronicity is another word. It's a fantastic harmony here. And what I want to say here is that I'm going very often on podcasts which are just pure different. I can go on a podcast for, you know, for lawyers, for real estate, Why? Because they also need the visibility. And yep. Everybody basically can go on a podcast too. So I can go on these podcasts. I didn't hear of anybody like accountant, but I'm sure there are accountants who go on a podcast too as well. So
absolutely.
I don't have to go necessarily to hang out with people who talk about the same thing like I.
Yeah.
They might be even better than me. I mean, podcasting, you know, there are lots of podcast experts out there.
That's so true. And I think it's like being niche, but then also looking at who you can be in front of that would be your ideal client. And then also talking into podcasts or podcast industries or industries in general, where you can actually stand out. Cause like you said, like it's like me going on marketing podcasts. Yes. You know, it would be about podcasting, but there's probably like a whole million of them. If you're in the general space, you're just going to be like everybody else.
Everything branding is good for us. Everything branding, yeah. Everything content marketing is good for us because it's such a great content marketing thing. Like what we are creating now, content is amazing, isn't it? I mean, I can, you know, we have the clips later on. I can have a transcript.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you do this, it's not very hard. I mean, you're getting those interviews. Let's say I try to get 3 a month. In a year, you have like 30 more interviews. That's a lot of content.
Yeah.
You can make absolutely. Blog posts out of it. You can actually, you know, the thing, the snippets, and you're expert in this. You know, when you know the highlights, when you take this time and you make this really nice for the social media campaigns. Well, it's not only that this is content people will listen to. Most of the people on social media, they're not podcast listeners. They don't listen to podcasts. These are not necessarily the subscribers to podcasts. They are for a different reason on social media, let's say LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. But when they see from an expert from time to time, let's say 5 times a month, a clip where the expert on different podcasts, right, where he talks, let's say 1 minute, half a minute about a certain topic because he gets the question asked. So it's easy for him to talk from different angles, even though they know him already, read his book already, but he will say different things again.
Yeah.
And it's like the perception and the myth. So the perception, myth, and reality. The myth is that people think that these experts have been always invited because they're experts. They're so famous. The reality is they were pitching themselves or they were pitched by an agency. That's the reality.
Yeah.
So there's the myth and the reality. And I think it's very important to know that's a fantastic way to get that status of an authority. Particularly when you've written a book, you should just right away go on a podcast too, yeah. Or have your own podcast. And also the go-to expert. And if it's a business, if you have a brand, it's very similar because how, as a brand, how do you get the 40 minutes to talk about your service? I mean, this is, you know, the brand is what people say when you're not in the room about you. And that's, you get so much time to talk about you in an interesting, fascinating, compelling way. So people will remember you and they will connect with your website and they will connect, become part of your profitability ecosystem, right? And your marketing funnel. And so, you know, it's very difficult to say, okay, I'm going on a podcast and now I get a new client. That's not always happening. Of course
no.
not. And sometimes you get a client from a podcast interview you had 3 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's, you can't expect just to be on a podcast and everything happens. It's like how you leverage it, the strategies involved, being intentional. I think that's really important. What I like what you said is that every podcast episode is a networking event. And I think that's a whole nother angle that a lot of podcasters really miss the mark on and don't leverage to the fullest. Can you talk about that?
Yes, but just think about, I have this client, for instance, he just wrote a book on leadership and he's not very known. He has a good book. He wrote a good book, but he just really starts out. And I put him on all these great shows with about leadership in America, and he's from Germany. So I was thinking, you know, recently, what an opportunity for him to make those networking, to do this networking. Now he gets to know all these people in leadership. They many times have written books themselves. The hosts are just the same kind of experts like he, or even better, bigger. And so, you know, this, and I see it myself also. I've, like, when I make my, when I get my interviews, I really stay, I try to have this, I'm very grateful to have to know this person now on LinkedIn also and Facebook. Yeah. So, because we are posting things and it's about the same industry. And sometimes you get back, yesterday I had somebody, a podcast host. He is one of the top level podcasts and he contacted me. So we meet, and I, when I had the meeting yesterday, I didn't remember anymore. Was it me contacting him? Because I also had questions for him. So we got together for half an hour and we exchanged ideas and opinions. It was great. Recently, I had somebody also top level podcast coming from America, visiting Spain. He was in Barcelona. I said, why don't you come over to Mallorca? Let's get together. I pick you up at the airport. We go for, you know, and he was making a detour. He didn't plan on it. And he was here for a whole week.
That's
in
awesome.
A hotel, of course, and you know, we had great conversation. So it's amazing, and it's not like it's not like, you know, don't talk about it. No, it's intangible. Okay, like branding is also intangible, but we also know that nowadays in a business, the assets, they are very much intangible, the real assets, human capital, internal processes, customer relationships, financial strategies is all very intangible many times. So this is also intangible, but it's branding.
Agreed. And I think it's like those relationships and the connections and the conversations that you have, like that's what makes it fun.
Yes. Yes. Well, it has, like, it's a pendulum, you know, it has its ups and downs. I mean, what I notice sometimes, you know, you get also sometimes experiences where you say, well, but mostly I get good experiences.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's in the pendulum.
Yeah. And I think if you're aware of that more and you're more intentional about either what guests you have on your show or what shows you guest on, like you can really foster those relationships and collaborate and do webinars together or do a pod swap or, you know, create referral systems for yourself where you can get business. There's so much opportunities that can be tapped into.
Yes. And, you know, many times you have to reach out. For instance, there's this lady from California and she's a corporate storyteller. She wrote a book and she got that inspiration by being interviewed by a host, which I got for her from Australia. They became good friends. She's from California. The host is from Australia. Then I was asked to make a real strong campaign for a book launch. And I did. And then I connected my client, Faisal Hock, who is really top level guy, because right now with three books, he's right now number one on Wall Street Journal. That's just amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, you know, he's on all the airports everywhere with the books and everything. So I connected those two and they were talking and how important it is, what you have to do when you launch a book.
Yeah.
So you see these kind of things, right? I mean, they're invaluable.
Yeah. And making connections for other people too, and be a giver that way.
Yes.
So obviously you work at getting people booked on high-end podcasts. What makes a good guest for those higher end podcasts? Like, do you have requirements? What kind of qualities do you look for?
What makes a good guest is somebody, and it doesn't have to be famous already, or he doesn't have to even have written a book. It's very much personality and character. If you know that he has a message which is really resonating with that audience of that podcast host, you know, he can have an email as the landing page and people will connect with him. Of course, most of the time, the people who are very qualified for high-end podcasts, let's say in the business area, they usually have written one or several books already. They have been on many media outlets already. They might have been on several television shows or things like that. Or, you know, but they see also the importance that even though you are famous and you are in your niche, you're not famous like everybody runs after you and knows you when they see you. But spiritual people, there are some of them. I have one. She has like millions of downloads, of course, with her crystal ball music. And she's famous because I know that there are people what song she has, and a lot of people know it. And anyway, but that means they also understand they always have to be visible. It's like, it's not just a one-time thing. You are in that space and you have to stay there. You can't just go away. People forget you.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
So what is a good guest? A good guest is really the one who has a compelling story. The one, when I make the pitch, the positioning, it's a real positioning. It crystallizes into a strawberry, and that strawberry comes right in front of the mouth of the host. So he wants that person. If that is not there, if there's a plain vanilla thing, I cannot pitch him to a great host, because they have lots of pitches. They have lots of people who want to be in the show. So you have to be one which has a very unique angle to the story, to the table of discussion. It's like almost like, look, we have this discussion here. I invite all these people. If you want to come and join us, what are you going to talk about? Is this interesting to everybody? Right? It's like, does this bring value? It's not just about self-promotion. That's the worst thing, actually. You know, the promotion part is a very natural thing in the podcasting world, because you're getting asked at the end anyway, and people want to connect with you. But if somebody just pitches himself all the time, let's forget it. And there are hosts that do that also. And the guest has no chance to talk about himself anymore, because she's or he is talking about herself all the time in the interview. No, but it's like really like compelling story. The best one is the one who has a story, a good story, because you see, it's like education, but also entertaining. It's both. It's entertaining and education. That's the best guest. So if he has a story, let's say a business leader who was in Japan when he was 20 and got this enlightenment story, that's a nice story to get started, right? So you see what I mean? It's like, or it's not just like, oh, I had already five businesses before I was 30 years old. He also has to be a sympathetic, nice human being, right? There was one, I remember, he was talking about all these new things with the financial in the financial world, bitcoins and all this stuff and NFT whatever, and he was just so full of himself. I could not pitch him, because he would actually have in his own words something like, "That's why I can lead the discussion." You see what I mean? I mean, you have to have a bit of arrogance, humility, right?
Yeah,
that's not a terribly good guest.
No, agreed. I've seen it all as well. So do you help clients like craft their message, their story, their talk topics? Like what do you do when you work with your clients?
Well, the process is exactly that. I mean, first I have a Zoom call, and we are going on a Zoom call for 30 minutes. We talk about the objectives, that what the person wants to accomplish with a podcast guesting tour of four, like an interview package first, like an experience package of 4 or 10. And then when they agree, then I work on the positioning, which means I just need their website or their updated biography. Yeah. And I've already talked with them. I already talked what kind of audience you want to reach, but sometimes they don't know it themselves. So that's what I like to do. I like positioning. I was teaching in universities in Sri actually, when I was in Argentina, Buenos Aires, and I like this kind of whole topic of this marketing, positioning, self-image and all this. So that's what I do. And it's not so difficult. Many times they look at it and they sometimes, they think, oh, Joseph, you do it, I trust you, you're the best, but I'm not. So they look at it and, we change things around, and I forgot something very important and we put it in together. It just takes a little bit of editing the document, the Google Doc, and then I set it up as a campaign with follow-ups, multi-channel outreach. I work very much also with LinkedIn, of course, but email is very important, because you get the hosts, they have to get a certain body of text in order to say, yeah, I'm interested in that person. You can't just say, I know Frank, he's a great guy, here's his website, You have to tell, you have to do, the writing has to be good, the copywriting, the marketing. So then after that, I make the podcast tracker sheet, which is, again, a Google document, Excel, where I put in, I gather everything, the emails and the podcast name. And this becomes the variable then in the campaign, of course, the name. And very important, the personalization.
Yeah,
and I work with artificial intelligence there also. You can't, when you have so many clients, you can't just all the time do and listen to every podcast, like 3 episodes or whatever. I know a lot of podcasts and I know I listen to them. And so, but when I reach a new podcast, you know, sometimes I'm quite fast. I see patterns, you know, with the time you see patterns, pattern recognition. You see, that's like almost like, you know, there's a great books written about it, but let's, and I don't want to compare with myself, but if a captain is out there, you know, he sees things like much faster if he's experienced than with a boat or with a ship, then somebody is just new, right? And they have to still learn all this. But I can clearly see, you know, quickly if a podcast host is the right match for my client. And if not, I have to apologize sometimes because it does happen sometimes that they are overly promotional or they, you know, they cancel three times. I mean, terrible behavior sometimes, yes.
Yeah, I know. So many do's and don'ts. We could have like 5 episodes on that.
it's awesome.
I know. What's your favorite thing about what you do?
That I can get out the message for other people in a way that I can be proud of myself and they like me because I do it. Yeah. And, you know, I'm seasoned. I'm a seasoned media expert and I don't want to go on stage anymore. And I don't want to be the big shot. I want to, this is a lifestyle business for me. I like it.
Yeah.
And we've talked a lot about elite professionals. I like, you know, people, very ordinary people, and they have written a book and I like to represent them and they are fascinating to get to know, And I think to get to know them is so fulfilling for me because I live in this small village since about 3 years now in the mountains in Mallorca. The beach is not far away. It's like by car, 10 minutes. But it's a small village. It's about 700 people here. Beautiful village. I do a lot of hiking. And there are people from Germany, from England, from Sweden. And we know each other quite well. Yeah. I have houses here. But that is the beautiful thing here. But at the same time, it's totally important for me also is all these people I get to know on my computer, on my laptop.
Yeah, yeah.
That's totally the same, if not more, if not better sometimes. But I've made good friends here.
Yeah.
But I think also that's very fulfilling to me to be at my age now, to be so active still. I read the books, you know, and when I have a new client, I read his book. I get to know them really well. I study them really well so I can really understand them. And they get to know me over a year, over 2 years, you know. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
I love
that's
that.
That's what I like.
I know. That's our mission. Thinks that like online relationships and Zoom and friends that you've never actually physically met is weird, but I think you can have bonds with people and connect and build relationships and not necessarily have met them live. I think that's cool.
I mean, I've experienced it with Stompanet. Stompanet, you probably don't know Stompanet, but Stompanet was 2006. That was the first, I had an e-commerce store, and that was the first internet marketing underground, stomping the search engines, so to speak, right? These were all so intelligent people. They were like faculty members, and we were the founding members. Cool. These were faculty people. They were teaching, you know, and it was very expensive, $800 for several years. And I got my e-commerce store up like very, like huge revenues at the time. And everybody became so successful because it was a new paradigm, the internet, Google, just like now, artificial intelligence, basically then. And I tell you, I have friends from there.
Yeah.
And we went in the last, since 2006, we went through all kinds of we meet each other still.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, amazing, you know. And we love to talk and meet and we laugh a lot. And I was 10 years in Costa Rica because my business was really well. I had almost everything outsourced. I lived on the best beaches. So they wanted to always meet me also. I met them and they become more successful than me, much more successful than me because they were working while I was having a good time in Costa Rica.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but that's totally real. That's totally real. These relationships. Totally
agreed. Real. Absolutely. Love it. Well, I so appreciate your sharing your wisdom and your experience in podcast guesting. Of course, one of my favorite topics. I understand you have a free resource that you can give the audience.
Yes.
Let them know what it is and how they can get it.
Yes, it's an ebook and it's a very short one. It's only 30 pages because I did write several times a thesis and stuff, and I don't recommend anybody to read those stuff. But this book solves one problem for one kinds of people. It's like for consultants and for coaches and brands. And it solves one problem, how to research the best podcasts and how to pitch them the best way. and a few myth-busting things are in there, frequently asked questions, but it's about 30 pages.
Yeah.
So you can download it on my website. You don't even have to give me an email address. It's guestexpertsonair.com,
mm-hmm.
guestexpertsonair.com/podcast promo.
Perfect.
And probably, Lindsay, you have to repeat it because I speak like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Podcast promo. I'll podcast have the link promo in the show notes too.
In former days, you know, when I had my e-commerce store, I was always buying stuff from California, from wholesalers. And there was only the phone always at the phone. No face, nothing.
Yeah.
So they said, yeah, you talk like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm from Austria. And I said, yeah, I don't only talk like him. I look like him. Just the face looks different. He was still young there. He was 20 years old.
Yeah.
Lindsay, thank you so much. It was nice.
Yeah, I so appreciate your time. And folks, check out, what's the what, guest?
Guest experts on air.
Yep, guestexpertsonair. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you again, folks. And to Joseph. And we'll see you next week on the Leverage Your Podcast Show. And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you are guesting on podcasts but still feel like the best kept secret and you want to create authority boosting content with ease while attracting leads and clients, then request a free podcast guest leverage audit to transform your results. Head to leverageyourpodcast.com/guest audit.